This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
It is 8:07 in the Bay Area, 11:07 on Wall Street, right here on the Bloomberg Advantage. That means it's time for a check on the small cap universe. Let's bring back our Bloomberg Stocks columnist, Dave Wilson, taking a look at what's going on. And Dave?
Well, smaller U.S. companies are higher. Not quite as much as their larger peers, though. The Russell 2000 index with a gain of 0.2%, while the S&P 500 is higher by 0.3%. Now, the Russell's biggest advance belongs to Vitae Pharmaceuticals, whose ticker is VTAE. The developer of dermatology drugs agreed to a takeover offer from Allergan that's valued at $639 million, or $21 a share. Now, Vitae last traded at $21 or more back in December 2014, and the deal has sent its shares surging 158.5%. They're now at $20.95. Sarepta Therapeutics, ticker SRPT, is up 25%. A U.S. Food and Drug Administration reviewer who criticized the company's proposed treatment for a form of muscular dystrophy left the agency. It raises a possibility that this treatment gets approved down the line. The Russell's steepest drop belongs to the dietary supplement maker Life Vantage, ticker LFVN. It's down about 21% after delaying the release of fiscal fourth quarter and full year results to resolve accounting issues. And Radiant Logistics, ticker RLGT, is down 11.5%. The shipper's fourth quarter earnings and sales trailed analyst average estimates in the Bloomberg survey.
All right, Dave Wilson, thank you so much. Our Bloomberg Stocks columnist, Dave Wilson, taking a look at the small cap universe for us right here on Bloomberg Radio.
And the Bloomberg Advantage brought to you by National Realty, providers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns on the median monthly distribution. See them at NRIA.net.
It's survival in the city.
We want to talk about our nation's cities right now because our next guest has spent many decades focusing on environmentally, socially, and economically resilient cities. Jonathan Rose is with us. He's got a book out. It's called The Well-Tempered City, What Modern Science, Ancient Civilizations, and Human Nature Teach Us About the Future of Urban Life. And he joins us in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Welcome to Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Carol. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you here. I love talking about cities. And it was interesting. Corey and I talked about, for our New York audience, about, you know, Americans favoring slightly higher bills to fight global warming. Of course, as the cost goes up, they're not so interested in doing it. But you look at a lot of different things in terms of cities. Who do you think is responsible for protecting kind of the environment within our cities?
It is a collective responsibility. It is something that individual businesses can do. And actually, there's a lot of things businesses can do that make enormous economic sense to reduce their climate impacts. And it's also something that we need to regulate. Governments have four tools. They have the tool of regulation, such as building codes, energy codes, and we're seeing those rise all across the country. They have the tool of investment. They can invest in infrastructure that's greener, for example, more mass transit. They can incentivize, so for example, tax abatement programs. And maybe one of the most important is leadership. And we're seeing all across the country cities declaring that they want to be more environmentally responsible, that they want to lower their climate impacts. And they're almost competing against each other to see who can do the best. And that's really exciting.
I feel like the cities I feel like is a phrase I'm trying to strike for my language. that city planning has changed, and it really has moved away from a developer-focused effort, at least in the big cities in America, the bigger pre-industrial cities, to a much more community-focused effort. Is it fair to say that change has been made, that we're definitely in a sort of post-Robert Moses world?
We're definitely in a post-Robert Moses world. Robert Moses was not necessarily in favor of developers. He was actually in favor of very big government doing very big things. And what we're seeing now, I think, is a better balance between... We're seeing a lot of thriving development happening. There are cities like San Francisco and Seattle and Denver and New York whose development platforms are exploding with growth, which is a really good thing. But we're also seeing in those cities a focus on affordable housing and an attempt to fund that too and keep that in balance. It's never in perfect balance anywhere. I think the role of government is actually to equalize both the landscape of opportunity for all, but also to try and balance the environmental and social things so that the positive development happens in a way that benefits the most people.
Your book is called The Well-Tempered City. Why is it so important to have well-tempered cities?
We have a lot of issues coming forward. So let's back up. In the 21st century, globally, by the end of the 21st century, 80% of the world's population will be living in cities.
It is interesting, that whole move. I just see it in, I live in a city, and it's just like everybody, young and old, everybody wants to be there.
And the reason is that cities are both the cauldrons of opportunity. They're places where we can improve our lives. They're where excitement is. There's where arts and culture is. And they're much safer. They're really exciting places to be. They're not only exciting, they're satisfying places to be. So the global people all around the world are moving to cities for opportunity and quality of life. Now the question is, so that makes cities actually leverage points. So to solve the issue of climate change, for example, that you were talking about earlier, you want to do it where the most people are, where the most economic activity is, and where the most potential pollution is. So cities become great leverage points, and we're seeing amazing things happen in cities all around the world.
You talk about the phrase of your book, the well-tempered city. I don't know if that's a Bach reference or not, but what is a well-tempered city?
So it is actually a Bach reference, and very briefly, because Bach, when he created the well-tempered clavier, was based on an idea of integrating every note in the keyboard and every key into a massive harmony of the universe. And my idea is that we really need to integrate all the elements of cities into an extraordinary harmony. A well-tempered city has a lot of characteristics I drive in to discuss in the book, but to really get to the bottom line, on the social side, it's a place that equalizes the landscape of opportunity for all. So it means it has great school. No matter where you go to school in the city, it's a great school. It has fantastic health care. It has access to parks and open space. It has fantastic transit options. It has arts and culture, affordable housing, great jobs. So it has all those things. And then it does that in balance with nature.
And like you have this notion that kind of goes beyond Jane Jacobs' sort of belief that just the way you design the city can do that. It sounds like you are arguing for a much bigger role of government to make sure certain things work that the commerce and capitalism won't provide for.
So it definitely goes beyond the physical design, because it means the social. But I'm not going to use the word design, because I actually believe that cities are alive, evolving organisms that evolve with markets and people.
Does it create social problems? We just got 15 seconds left here, because I'm just thinking cities are expensive, and we keep pushing people who can't afford them kind of further out. Does it create some social problems down the road?
No, we got to bring those people in. That's the whole key. We got to fund affordable housing so that we can have the diversity of the city.
Interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Enjoyed
Thanks
this.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Rose, author of The Well-Tempered City, What Modern Science, Ancient Civilizations, and Human Nature Teach Us About the Future of Urban Life. Check it out, everybody. You are listening to The Bloomberg Advantage. Market Check coming your way. In just a moment. This is Bloomberg.